Fast Eddie in EAA Radio Studios here with Lieutenant Colonel Chris Anderson, call sign Chico. Great to have you here.
Great to be here.
You have a very special job. This year, we have a first at Air Venture. We have a B-52. You're part of the crew of that B-52. What's your job?
Yes, sir. I'm on the crew of five on the airplane, and I'm on the offense compartment doing the weapons as a bombardier. We call it officially weapon system operator, and I am the bombardier controlling the weapons.
So that means that you have the opportunity to do your impression of Slim Pickens riding a bomb down, right?
A little bit of that, yeah. I'm going to let the weapons release out of the airplane, and I will not be going with them. I have seen the movie, and yeah, I am privileged to do the job of controlling the weapons.
So in other words, you push the button, wave bye-bye, and you fly on back home.
That's it.
Where have you been with this airplane? Are you just flying strictly continental United States, or have you been overseas with it?
Well, I, like most of the guys that are here, guys and gals with us, we've been deployed all over the world. We are worldwide deployable. Lately, we've been spending a lot of time in the Asia-Pacific region over there as part of a new strategic deterrence mission. I flew in combat in the Middle East, a few of those missions, as well as some of the guys with us. So primarily now, training. Our mission with the airplane that's here at Oshkosh is a training mission. But some of us that are here are combat mission ready to deploy anywhere in the world.
Well, that's very interesting. The training has got to be unique. We understand that the B-52 years ago was used for high-altitude strategic bombing, and nowadays you guys are focusing on nap of the Earth. That's got to be an interesting ride.
Well, we actually, we've kind of migrated back to the more of the high altitude as far as how we employ around the world. But we do practice lower level or low level training as we do some show of force and show of presence missions around the world and in the most recent engagements. But we do some low level training, but primarily now we practice and train students for and employ the airplane in the kind of high to medium altitude environment.
This particular model was built in 1961. Yeah. The avionics, I hope, has been upgraded a little bit since then. When was the last?
We had one about a year ago. So our offensive avionics system, our OAS, is updated about every year and a half to 2 years, part of a Boeing upgrade program. Overall upgrade on the airplane, we kind of do it a little bit piecemeal just because of the nuclear hardening requirement and some of the specifics. And you can imagine 1961 architecture and backbone and then trying to upgrade it. So it's a little more complex, but we have had some upgraded displays, a targeting pod we have on the airplane now, and some upgraded communications capability.
My brother and I got into a big discussion about the engines of the aircraft. The engines that are on there, are they original as far as the design is concerned? Now, I know you're going to wear them out and change them and everything, but is it still the same engine that it was equipped with way back when it was built?
No, that's a good question. We have upgraded. We have the TF-33 engines on there. So we upgraded the engines. It's the original form, fit, function, original real estate, but the engines have been upgraded to a TF-33. So there's talk, you know, always of continuing that to more advanced engines, but those eight engines are very efficient, and there's also a lot of redundancy with generators on the odd engines.
There have been many stories regarding the B-52 versus other aircraft that are used as bomber aircraft. The one in particular is the F-4 Phantom pilot that gave a B-52 driver a hard way to go. And finally, the B-52 driver put him in his place by telling him, yeah, I just shut down two engines, something you can't do. Do you run into this every now and then?
We do. Whenever we talk to the fighter guys and my friends in the F-22, you know, we do the dreaded seven-engine approach. We practice that. And we do have a little bit of redundancy, and it's always fun to give the single-engine guys a little bit of a hard time. But it's all friendly, and if we do get an engagement with them, we can buy some time.
I was going to say, they've got your back.
They do.
Being as how this airplane has outlived designers' wildest dreams, what kind of upgrades and modifications are planned for this aircraft in the future?
There's on the horizon, we're upgrading, so the airplane that's here and all the jets in the inventory, in our bomb bay, we currently have only gravity or, you know, dumb weapon capability, which we've had since the inception of the airplane. We're going through a mod program now that's close to being fielded where we'll be able to carry GPS-guided weapons in our bomb bay. So that's a big improvement, and it just expands the number of weapons we can carry that are GPS-guided or smart weapons.
My brother and I, we looked at the aircraft the other day, and we noticed there's a couple of really large hard points there between your inner engine pylon and the fuselage. What kind of weapons are you hanging there?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in our bomb bay, we carry the dumb weapons or dumb bombs. We carry missiles in the bomb bay. And then externally, on those hard points, we put, which we didn't with this jet that's here, but we put pylons on there, and then adapter beams where we put smart weapons or GPS guided, and anywhere from 500 pounders to 2,000 pound class weapons to even 5,000 pound. So we carry those out on the external points of the airplane, and we also can carry laser-guided weapons.
Is the airplane capable of launching cruise missiles?
It is, yeah. We can carry nuclear or conventional cruise missiles, and we can carry them internally or externally or both.
Wow.
So in the bomb bay, we could carry 8 of them on a launcher, and then on those hard points you mentioned earlier, we can carry 6 of those on each side, so 12 total externally, and those are 3,000-pound class weapons.
Well, here's an interesting point, too. The B-52 has the in-flight refueling capabilities. Well, that's great. You extend the legs of the airplane. What about the legs of the crew? Do you have any room inside this airplane to move around?
All kinds of room. You've been flying as long as I have. It's very comfortable in there. We have a little kitchen upstairs where we have our oven, if you've seen that. The bedroom's right across from there where the bunk is. But it is very, for some people it seems confined. But like I and all the guys that are here flying, and we've grown accustomed to it, and it's very comfortable. So we can take up to 10 people on the airplane at once, which I've done on a 28-hour mission. That gets a little crowded, but you just get to be efficient, take a nap when you can, and you're with 10 of your best friends, for the next whatever the duration of the sortie is.
I was going to say, they better be close friends.
Yeah, we are all, it's a tight community.
What kind of food are you taking on board on these long runs?
A wide range of food, but I've shown a few people here at the air show when we go upstairs, the oven we have, very small area, but you wrap anything in a little bit of foil, put it on for 10 minutes, and you got a meal in front of you. So leftovers and sandwiches.
This is a conventional oven, not a microwave oven.
It's conventional, not a nuclear oven, yes. Conventional oven on a nuclear bomber.
Yeah, isn't that interesting, though?
Yeah.
And, of course, you have some kind of bathroom facilities because you can't go all that long and hold it.
There's very primitive facilities. I'll just say that the preferred number one is authorized.
Uh-huh.
Anything after that, it gets a little more complicated.
Yeah, I can just imagine. What's the longest mission you've personally been on?
I did Fast Eddie. I did after 9/11. I did a 28.2.
Wow.
And it's funny because that .2 is a big deal to me because after 28 hours, those extra 12 minutes were a long 12 minutes. But there's a lot. Most of the guys I think I'm here with have flown that, or even some of them have flown longer as we try to showcase and deter as a deterrent airplane. We fly all over the world, and to your point earlier, with air refueling, we have pretty long legs. But yeah, it's a long mission, but it's all about the crew and working together. So
well, that's an important part there. The training that you get, I'm sure you're doing a lot of simulator training as well, because it's expensive to keep those things in the air, and every time you're turning engines, you're wearing parts out on them, and it's getting harder to get them, I imagine.
You're right. That's an excellent point. We do, and as the airplane that's here is part of the B-52 FTU, the formal training unit. So some of us that are here are instructors instructing the next generation of B-52 aviators, requalification students, senior officers, and as part of that syllabus, we're incorporating the simulator more and more because it's less expensive. We can also, actually hit pause and pause the airplane, which is kind of hard to do when you're at 35,000 feet.
I was going to say, in a combat situation where, the bad guys are coming at you, you've got the opportunity to pause the simulator and to point out options that maybe your students hadn't thought of.
Exactly. It's a great capability. I use it as an instructor frequently. The other thing that's good about it is it allows you to kind of mission rehearse, fly the airplane or the mission before you actually go out and do it for 5 or 6 hours the next day. So we do use it a lot, and incidentally, even with our F-22 friends that are here, we're integrating more. So we can integrate their simulator and our simulator in an actual exercise where they're on the ground at ground speed zero, we're in the simulator as well, a totally different location somewhere else in the world, and we can talk to them and integrate in a simulator environment. So it's pretty not as fun, you know, and as cool as flying, but it's the next best thing, and allows us to kind of hone those skills in the simulator environment.
And the other thing too is you can make the training more intense, and you can do more of it, because now you don't do takeoffs and landings. You could just plug in the scenario and boom, you're there.
Exactly. That's a good point. Yep.
And I'm sure that goes a long way, because, you know, after 2 hours, hey, hold the thing, we got to make a pit stop.
Yep, it goes a long way. And then you can debrief kind of right there on the spot, rewind the mission, all those things you can't do, you know, when you're actually flying it.
That's right. With the simulator, you've probably got a recording capability built in as well.
Yeah, we do. We can we can record it, some of the weapons release, in this particular case, weapons release parameters, debrief them on the spot, or go back in the simulator building afterwards, see where the airplane was, you know, in the simulated environment, who was talking, how to communicate, all that is recorded. So it's pretty pretty neat capability.
Well, after you get through with all the simulations and everything, you do go out to a live fire range and actually drop stuff, right?
Oh, that's the most fun, and of course we do. Yep, that's the kind of the capstone of all that.
Are you dropping live weapons, or are you just using concrete replicas?
Well, we do a little bit of both. It's kind of like the you mentioned the engines and the sustainment part of it. It's a little more expensive to have the live weapons, so we do. In the training room, we do a lot of concrete, you know, 500 pounds of concrete, which still does some damage. It just doesn't go boom, you know, at the end and have a fuse on it.
Right.
And it turns out our ranges that where we can employ those inert weapons, we call them, are a little closer, so it's a little more efficient.
Yeah.
Well, but it's more fun to always drop live, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Lieutenant Colonel Chris Anderson here, Chico. He's the offensive weapons officer on the B-52 here at Oshkosh that showed up. Lieutenant Colonel, thank you for coming out.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody at Oshkosh. We've had a great time. Everybody's been, from the fans to the EAA staff, and everybody's been extremely friendly and courteous and welcoming.
And please pass along my thanks to all of the crew members and the ground crew for serving and protecting our country. We really appreciate that.
I will. And the security forces, that took everybody. They've been very helpful. The guys that have been out here over, you know, 24 hours a day guarding our airplane. So I want to say a special thanks to them as well. Thank you.
Very good. I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.